from the Disciples with Microphones Podcast Network.
And from the Crystal's Vintage Network.
Ordinary time? 'Tis the season after Pentecost. That and more on liturgical seasons in the extraordinary form of the Mass. This is episode 93 of Crystal's Vintage Anywhere, right now. Crystal's Vintage Anywhere. Episode 93. And now, here's the snark of all trades and master of absolutely none, Brian Michael Page. Cha! Hello and welcome, ego sum brianis micaelis pagina. We are in the 19th week of Ordinary Time, or is that the 10th week after Pentecost? I guess that depends on which calendar you want to use. Yes, the extraordinary form of the Mass, that is the Roman Missal of 1962, has its own liturgical calendar, and it does have its share of differences from the liturgical calendar that's used in the ordinary form of the Mass, that is the 1970 Roman Missal, the Mass as we know it today. And we're going to be discussing the different seasons in the ordinary form later on in our show. But first, here are them there jungle screechers. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And a big thank you and a Red Sox cap tip to those jungle screechers. We're going to do something a little bit different in our Feast for the Week calendar. We're going to not only give you the feast for the ordinary form of the Mass, but we're also going to give you the feast for the extraordinary form of the Mass. And we'll start off with Monday, August 13th. First of all, let's take a look. Saint Hippolytus gets mentioned in both of these feasts, but there's a different saint mentioned with him. Now, in the extraordinary form, optional commemoration, Saints Hippolytus and Cassian. In the ordinary form, optional memorial, Saints Pontian and Hippolytus. Tuesday, extraordinary form, optional commemoration, Saint Eusebius. Ordinary form, obligatory memorial, Saint Maximilian Mary Kolbe. Both forms in the evening take the vigil of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which leads us to Wednesday, August 15th. The Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary in both ordinary and extraordinary forms, a holy day of obligation in both cases. Thursday, the 16th, in the extraordinary form, the commemoration of Saint Joachim, the father of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, if you notice, traditionally, Joachim and Anne, the parents of Mary, had separate memorials. In the modern calendar, it's been consolidated as one memorial celebrated together on July 26th, which is traditionally the memorial of St. Anne. In the ordinary form, an optional memorial, St. Stephen of Hungary. Friday, in the extraordinary form, the commemoration of St. Hyacinth. In the ordinary form, Feria. Saturday, the 18th, in the extraordinary form, optional commemoration of St. Agapitus. In the ordinary form, a couple of optional memorials, St. Jane Frances de Chantal, and also the Blessed Virgin Mary on Saturday. Sunday, of course, you're definitely going to find a difference, at least in the name of the feast for Sunday. Extraordinary form, 11th Sunday after Pentecost, and in the ordinary form, the 20th Sunday of Ordinary Time. And don't forget to check out the New Advent website, www.newadvent.org, for great stories on these and other great saints.
Crystal's Vintage Semi-Live in a local city pub.
Hello there. Seamus here. Bet you're expecting Brian to be over here at this bar. Brian? At a bar? He doesn't even drink, the wuss. Well, Before I run through the music that Brian did last weekend, let me introduce you to a few pals here. To my left over here is Fergus O'Malley. And back there near the jukebox is Sean McShay. You met those two guys before, right? Pouring the drinks over here is my good friend Joe Burns. Say hi, Joe. Hee! And then way back there, next to the men's room door, that's Bobby Murphy. But you know why he's next to the men's room door? That's because he knows he's way over his alcohol consumption limit and has that extra drink anyways. But without any further ado, here's the music that Brian did last weekend for the 19th Sunday of Ordinary Time. And first we're gonna bring in this lost classic. Written by the beloved Father Frederick Faber. The glory, of course, was the glory of Missa de Angelis. The psalm, "Blessed the people the Lord has chosen to be his own," accompanied with Psalm 33 and chanted a cappella to Psalm Tone 8G. The Alleluia was the Mode 6 Alleluia. The hymn during the offertory was "At the Name of Jesus," text by Caroline Maria Noel, and the tune "King's Weston" by Ralph Vaughan Williams. Now we use the Ordinary of the Mass in English for this weekend, the People's Mass by Jan Vermoos for the Sanctus and the Agnus Dei, the Danish tone for the Acclamation Christ Has Died and the Amen, and the Lord's Prayer to chant in English. The hymn for communion, "You Satisfy the Hungry Heart with Gifts of Finest Wheat," text by Omer Westendorf, and the tune by Centennial by Robert Kreutz. And finally, here's an old friend that sounds familiar to you. Sure you all heard of that one. "To Jesus Christ, our Sovereign King," text by Martin Hellreigel, and the tune "Ich glaube an Gott," coming from a hymnal that was first published in Mainz, Germany in the 19th century. And we'll be back after this message, I think. Oh, by the way, they want me to be the designated driver, but I've already had 3 martinis. Hey! Yeah.
Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Bill Thierfelder, president of Belmont Abbey College, father of 10, two-time All-American, national champion, NCAA Division I coach, sports performance consultant to the pros, and your host of the Playing With Fire podcast. Please join me each week to learn how your faith and the practice of virtue can lead to world-class performance. Learn how pro athletes live a faith-filled life and use sport as a means for developing virtue while competing at the highest levels. Interviews, practical detailed sports performance tips, great music, and much more. So join me at ReclaimTheGame.com for the Playing With Fire podcast.
Don't do this at church.
Now that we've gone through the entire extraordinary form of the Mass in the last five shows, from the Asperges to the Ite Missa Est, right through the last Gospel, the final Deo Gratias, we got one last thing in this tour, the lectionary and calendar for the extraordinary Mass. It's going to be kind of like a side-by-side comparison between that and the ordinary form. Now, the cycle for Holy Scripture in the ordinary form of the Mass is a three-year cycle. It gives you an abundance of readings and psalms throughout those 3 years. And in the case of certain seasons, you may have the same story as appointed by Matthew 1 year, Mark 1 year, and Luke the other. Now, the cycle of the Holy Scripture in the extraordinary form of the Mass is the one-year cycle. But what's even more different is the liturgical calendar for the church year. Shall we take a look? Now, the four Sundays of Advent remain the same, as does the Vigil Mass for Christmas. But while we're on the subject of Christmas, let's take a look here. The Midnight Mass, the Mass at dawn, and the Mass during the day, as we know it today, are known in the traditional calendar as the first, second, and third Mass, respectively. In fact, in that third Mass, since the Gospel passage appointed for the day is the same as the last Gospel, the beginning of John, the last Gospel is dropped for that Mass at the end on that day. Now, the Feast of the Holy Family was moved in between Missals. In the current Missal, it's on the Sunday within the octave of Christmas. Now, of course, if Christmas and its octave fall on a Sunday, the Feast of the Holy Family is moved to Friday, December 30th. In the traditional calendar, it's on the Sunday after January 6th, which we'll get into in a minute. The Sunday in the octave of Christmas in the traditional calendar is simply that, the Sunday in the octave of Christmas. Now, on January 1st, currently, the Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God, is celebrated. In the extraordinary Mass, we shift our focus to Jesus, and it's called the circumcision of our Lord. The Gospel passage is pretty much the same for both forms of the Mass. Now, the Feast of the Epiphany, as we know it today in the ordinary form of the Mass, is celebrated on the Sunday after January 1st. In the extraordinary form, the Epiphany is celebrated on one and only one fixed date, January 6th. If a Sunday falls on a date from January 2nd through January 5th inclusive, the Holy Name of Jesus is celebrated. If that Sunday is January 7th or 8th, it's the Holy Family. The Baptism of the Lord, normally in the current Mass, celebrated on the Sunday after Epiphany, is celebrated in the extraordinary form on the fixed date of January 13th. Exactly 1 week after the Epiphany's fixed date of January 6th. Now, the Sundays in between the Baptism of the Lord and Ash Wednesday are known in the current Missal as part of Ordinary Time, starting with, of course, the second Sunday of Ordinary Time, third Sunday of Ordinary Time, fourth Sunday, etc. Now, one is quick to think that this Ordinary Time is just plain, old Ordinary. It actually means, ordinary time, the ordered sequence of Sundays, those Sundays that don't have a name otherwise. in the 1962 Missal. These are Sundays after the Epiphany. Now, the first Sunday after the Epiphany, of course, is the Holy Family. But the Sundays that follow are marked as second Sunday after the Epiphany, third Sunday after Epiphany, etc. Now, also in the Extraordinary Mass, there are three Sundays before Ash Wednesday that act as kind of a prelude to the season of Lent. Father Kevin Fassett, who I worked for at Holy Name in Providence, which has the traditional Mass, used to say, yeah, this little mini Lent before Lent. This little mini season, if you will, is known as Septuagesima. Septuagesima. Now, to get an idea of what this little mini season is, let's take a look at the three Sundays involved, as well as Lent itself. The Latin word used to identify the season of Lent is quadragesima, basically meaning the ordinal number 40th. Lent, of course, is the 40 days and nights that our Lord Jesus Christ fasted and prayed in the desert. That said, let's go back to the three Sundays before Lent. Septuagesima, 70th. Sexagesima, 60th. And quinquagesima, 50th. Now, though the numbering isn't exact on these days, and when I say that, you know, it's going back really in 7-day increments, but we're adding 10 to the number, the meaning is definitely there. Now, this little mini season is also treated like Lent in the fact that the Gloria is already omitted on these Sundays, and the Alleluia is replaced by the tract, just like during Lent. Which brings us, of course, to Lent. Quadragesima, 40th. The first four Sundays remain the same in both forms of the Mass, first, second, third, and fourth Sundays in Lent. However, as we work our way into Passiontide, now in the Extraordinary Mass, Passiontide is two Sundays. The two Sundays that we know in the current Missal as the fifth Sunday in Lent and Palm Sunday. Now, Scripture does hold a similar theme in the first Sunday of the Passion as it does, on the most part, for the fifth Sunday of Lent. Though it's not always exact, given the three-year cycle in the current form, as opposed to the one-year cycle in the Extraordinary. Palm Sunday is still known as that, though it's also given the name Second Sunday of the Passion. And its rituals before Mass, including the solemn procession, is, on the most part, the same in format. Though in the extraordinary form, there is absolutely no substitution allowed for the chants involved. In other words, for the chants Pueri Ebriorum or Gloria Laus et Honor, which are sung before and during the procession into church, you cannot substitute the King of Glory. Now going on to Holy Week, let's take a look at this interesting pattern in the lectionary. In the ordinary form of the Mass we know today, the Passion readings are rotated on Palm Sunday. St. Matthew's Passion in year A, St. Mark in year B, and St. Luke in year C. Now, in the extraordinary form, being a one-year cycle, St. Matthew's Passion is read on Palm Sunday, St. Mark's Passion on Tuesday of Holy Week, and St. Luke's Passion is on the Wednesday, known as Spy Wednesday, commemorating the conspiracy of Judas Iscariot to hand Jesus over for crucifixion. Now we move on to Holy Thursday. Now, at the cathedral on Holy Thursday morning would normally be the Mass of Holy Chrism. Even in the current form, the Chrism Mass was celebrated on Holy Thursday, until just a few years back, when it was made permissible to hold the Chrism Mass at an alternate day and or hour in an attempt to accommodate the public. Now, the Holy Thursday Mass of the Lord's Supper has not changed at all. It's still in the evening, there's still a washing of feet, and there's still a solemn transfer of the Holy Eucharist,
although in the 1962 Missal, it's known as the Solemn Translation of the Holy Eucharist. Traditionally, the day has been known as Maundy Thursday. Matter of fact, some of the Protestant denominations still use that name. It's named after the Latin mandatum, meaning commandment. Think of this. Mandatum novum da vobis. I give you a new commandment. And that is the beginning of the first of the antiphons that is chanted during the washing of the feet. The Good Friday Solemn Liturgy in the extraordinary form would be celebrated usually around 3 p.m. Now, in the ordinary form, it's usually around 7 p.m. in many parishes. Again, an attempt to get more gluteus maximi et maxime into the pew. The Vigil of Easter and Easter Sunday, the same by name, although the lessons and canticles differ a little in the vigil. Now, the Sundays that follow Easter are numbered different between the two forms. Now, in the current forms, we celebrate the second through seventh Sundays of Easter with Ascension normally on the Thursday between the sixth and seventh Sunday. But of course, now to confuse things even more, the Ascension is now celebrated in a good amount of dioceses on that seventh Sunday of Easter instead of the Thursday as a holy day of obligation. In the extraordinary form, the second Sunday of Easter is known as Low Sunday or Quasimodo Sunday. Quasimodo, the first word of the Latin antiphon of that day. Now, the third through sixth Sundays of Easter, as we know it today, are marked in the 1962 calendar as the second through fifth Sundays after Easter. In other words, the third Sunday of Easter is the second Sunday after Easter. Fourth Sunday of Easter is the third Sunday after Easter. Get what I'm saying? Now, the seventh Sunday of Easter in the current calendar is marked in the traditional calendar as the Sunday in the octave of the Ascension. Pentecost, 50 days from the resurrection, is always the same. After all, it's the birth of the church. Trinity Sunday also remains the same. Corpus Christi's a little bit different, you see. In the current Missal, we celebrate Corpus Christi on the Sunday after Trinity. Actually, it's now celebrated as the Body and Blood of Christ, consolidating the two solemnities into one. Those two solemnities now in the extraordinary form, Corpus Christi, the Body of Christ, on the Thursday after Trinity, while the Precious Blood is celebrated in the extraordinary form on July 1st. Now, the Sundays that follow that are more numbered Sundays in ordinary time, in the ordinary form of the Mass. In the extraordinary form, all those Sundays in between Trinity and Advent exclusive are numbered Sundays after Pentecost, starting with second Sunday after Pentecost, third Sunday after Pentecost, etc. The Sunday before Advent in the extraordinary form is known as last Sunday after Pentecost. Now, what about Christ the King? Because in the ordinary form, that last Sunday before Advent is Christ the King. However, in the extraordinary form, that last Sunday is last Sunday after Pentecost. Well, yes, the traditional Mass does celebrate Christ the King on the last Sunday in October. Finally, one last difference. This appears in the sanctoral cycle, the proper of saints, as opposed to the temporal cycle, the proper of time. In today's liturgy, we celebrate the presentation of the Lord on February 2nd. Now, remember we talked about January 1st, how in the ordinary form, the title's focused on Mary, and in the extraordinary form, it's focused on Christ. Well, here we had the presentation of the Lord in the ordinary form. In the traditional Mass, it is the purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And of course, it's also traditionally known as Candlemas. And in both forms of the Mass, there is that procession of light that takes place before Mass. Now, if you're lost in all this, and you happen to be listening to this on your computer, you should be able to drag your player's cursor to previous parts of the show. And now here's some Podsafe music from Jessica Smith-Wright.
inside. Brand new, take my place. I gotta let God rise. Pour out into line with. Dare to believe in Him. His word will see me through in everything I do. Speak, teasing me, but no way out. In an attempt to make me weak, I gotta let God rise. Pressing through until I see His word working through me. He has made me new in everything I do. Working through me, He has made me new in everything I do.
Go. Jessica Smith Wright and her tune Overcomer. I particularly like the chorus on this one. I am an overcomer. I'm going to stand my ground. And this past weekend, our pastor kind of preached on exactly that in his homily. Saints who stood their ground for the Lord, stood their ground for their faith. The ones who died standing their ground. Why they're called martyrs. St. Maximilian Kolbe, a Polish Franciscan priest, whose feast is this Tuesday the 14th, went to die for someone else who was supposed to die, because that person in whose place Maximilian was slain was a family man. He was a husband, a father. Maximilian took compassion in that, and he also declared to the killers, hey, take me. I'm a Franciscan priest from Poland. Stood his ground for his faith, which he so loved. Yeah, he paid for it by death, but was big time rewarded with a free trip to heaven.
as well as sainthood. Jessica Smith Wright, courtesy of PodSafe, music.podshow.com. And don't forget to check out the site, jessicasmithwright.org. And we'll be back.
Welcome to the iPadre Catholic Podcast. Interviews, stories, news, music, all things Catholic and then some. The iPadre Catholic Podcast. www.ipadre.net.
Don't do this at church.
The mass is ended. Go in peace.
Yabba-dabba-do!
And now, time for the good, the bad, and... the ugly! Today's edition of the good, the bad, and the ugly is brought to you by... Got Snark. In light of the Assumption this Wednesday, Holy Day of Obligation, we present the... OCP copyrighted Marian Hymns edition of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Now, we all know that the chants Ave Maria and Salve Regina are the surest bet in terms of Marian Hymns in the music issue. That's an absolute given. However, this edition of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly will focus on modern hymns owned by Oregon Catholic Press, dedicated to Our Blessed Mother. So,
The Good.
O Holy Mary by Owen Allstott, by far his best work. Excellent chant-style hymn, honoring Mary.
The Bad.
Ave Maria by Gregory Norbert, formerly of Weston Priory fame, or infamy.
The Ugly.
Hail Mary, Gentlewoman, sung at Aunt Marge's funeral because Aunt Marge was a gentlewoman. Christus Vincit.
Ready, music, and fun. That's us.
Greetings. Father Judd McFry here. Brian asked me to inform you, our listeners, about our new communications kiosk. There are so many ways you can connect with Christus Vincit anywhere. Of course, there's the Vote at Podcast Alley, and you can leave feedback there as well. You can also review our show at iTunes, or you can leave a note on our message boards, or you can give us a dig, and you can send even an email to us. There are so many ways you can communicate with us. Just simply head on to our main page at christusvincit.com and you'll find the links to all of these and more on our sidebar. And please, don't forget our friends over at...
Disciples with Microphones. Individual podcasters united with a single goal, to live the new evangelization. Bringing truth to podcasting through shows such as these.
Welcome to the Weekly Roman Observer, our news commentary on the Holy Father's newspaper.
I'm Father Seraphim Bishoner, host of Catholic Under the Hood.
I am Father Stephen Cuyus, a Filipino missionary of the Sacred Heart.
My name is Greg Willits.
And I'm Jennifer.
And we welcome you once again to the Rosary Army Podcast.
This is Brian Noe from the Verbum Domini Podcast.
This is Michael Kreidler from the Breadcast.
Dick Loris, and welcome to Going Four. This is your host, George Lee.
Welcome to CatholicJukebox.com presents Catholic Rockers.
This is the Catholic Cast.
True Knights Combat Training. Podcasting for purity.
The Catholic Mormon Podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Sarah.
My name is Lisa Marrero, and blessed to be Catholic.
DisciplesWithMicrophones.org. Baptize your earbuds.
And before we cut this show to a close, a couple of last-minute notes here. Don't forget to vote in the Blogger's Choice Awards. A little friendly reminder there. Christus Vincit the Blog, running in the Best Religion Blog category. Christus Vincit Anywhere, running in the Best Podcast category. Voting is running till November 10th. Also, A friendly reminder, this Wednesday, August 15th, is a holy day of obligation, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into heaven. At Holy Ghost, we will have two masses on that Wednesday, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. 7 p.m. will include music by the Holy Ghost Choir. Over the last few days, I've been piecing together my review for the 2008 music issue by Oregon Catholic Press. Feel free to check out these pieces over at Christos Vinci at the blog. I want to thank you all for joining me today. Tune in again next week for another hair-raising episode of Christos Vinci Anywhere or Christos Vinci TV, depending on what mood I'm in. Either way, until then, I'm Brian Michael Page. Peace.
Uno, two, tres, cuatro.
Anywhere.
Christos Vinci Anywhere is a member of Disciples with Microphones, the B Team, Ratzinger's Rottweilers, and oh yeah, the Christos Vinci Network.
Made on a crappy PC.